everyone, and welcome to Dallas Hoops Fancast. I'm your host, Sydney, and I'm here with a person that you all actually want to listen to, Martin.
That's not true. Hey, guys.
The Mavs lost tonight to the San Antonio Spurs, 119-117. A lot of things to talk about. I made a list of all of the kind of like highlight points from this game. We can start at the end, since it's probably fresh on our minds right now. Not really buzzer beater, but the game winner by DeMar DeRozan. I mean, he was killing the Mavs the whole night. Actually, the entire Spurs team, I feel like they made every single shot.
Well, they shot 54% from the field tonight.
Yeah, which is really high for those that don't watch basketball.
It's hard to win a game when a team is shooting that well, no matter who you are.
When they make over half their shots,
it's like, tough to win.
What are you going to do? But yeah, DeRozan was killing them. The final shot, I thought Dorian played good defense. I mean, he forced DeRozan to a step back, which, you know, for some players like Luka, that's what he wants. But DeRozan doesn't take a lot of step backs. Not that I remember. And it was a tough shot, and he swished it because he's DeMar DeRozan. That's what he does. I think both of us, at some point in the game, we got more and more surprised that they weren't double teaming DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
Do you think there was a good reason for that, or what do you think was behind that?
Well, first of all, Carlisle in the post game talked about how they had, I guess, discussed double teaming DeRozan on a final possession, and it never happened. So,
like it was supposed to?
Yeah. Oh. So on the final possession, they were supposed to force the ball out of DeRozan's hands, which I think we all thought they should have done.
Yeah.
But I thought it could have gone even way earlier than even that last shot. DeRozan was killing them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what Carlisle sees when Dorian's guarding DeRozan. I love Dorian, but DeRozan torches him. There's something about Dorian that DeRozan just gets where he wants to go. He gets his shots, and they're all well contested. It just, he's got Dorian's number.
Yeah.
And this is now three seasons or two seasons or however long DeRozan's been with the Spurs. And he has some of his best games against Dallas. And in the second half tonight, like freaking 30 points in the second half. And just killed Dorian. And in the last three minutes of the game, I thought we probably could have double-teamed DeRozan. Because he was really their only offense in the last 3 minutes of the game. And if you just got the ball out of his hands once or twice, then you may have pulled out a victory here.
So they were supposed to double, but they didn't.
That's what Carlisle said on the last possession.
That's interesting because that's happened before. I think it was against Portland. Lillard had a potential game winner, which he hit, and it came out afterwards that they were supposed to double, but didn't. And so I don't know how that happens. I don't know if it gets loud in there, or I don't know how that is usually drawn up and then where the miscommunication can happen. But it's interesting that it's happened now twice.
Weird. Hopefully it's just a
coincidence or something.
Yeah. Hopefully it's nothing.
So not double teaming. I mean, can you think of a reason, like, I mean, do they not have the defenders that can scramble? Would that create
double teaming does create open shots for the opposing team, and you really don't want to do that. And it probably may not have been a good idea tonight the way the Spurs were shooting.
That's
and
true.
Carlisle probably took that into consideration. If everybody else was missing all their shots, then he probably would have double teamed him. But the way the Spurs shot tonight, maybe if you really think about it, doubling DeRozan may not have been the best idea. You just trust your best defender, forcing a guy into really contested mid-range jumpers, which is what you want, and he just happened to make every single one of them because that's what he does against Dorian.
Yeah, well, also, they were shooting the three ball pretty well. I mean, a little over 38%.
They just don't shoot a lot of threes.
Yeah, but if you leave DeRozan, are you leaving open a three-pointer? And chances are DeRozan's taking a two-pointer.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you're doing this mathematically, then maybe he felt like a contested two was better than an open three, which technically it is.
Okay, this is where I love analytics, but sometimes your gut has got to lead you a little bit. And I think tonight it was clear DeRozan was going to make his shots.
Yeah.
There was just nothing you can do about it. So I think you throw the percentages out the window at that point and realize he's going to shoot 60% tonight or whatever in the second half. And so maybe you just don't let him shoot the ball and you force another guy make a three. They're not a really high volume 3-point shooting team, so that may not be what they want to do. But, you know, they just lost the game, and I thought they played well. I thought San Antonio just shot the crap out of the ball. Yeah, and you know, they've lost five in a row, and they played tonight like their season was on the line.
They played like a really good team tonight.
Yes.
When I was watching it, I was like, are we sure they've lost five in a row?
Well, you can see then that they don't really make these shots on a consistent basis. Yeah, true. Because they made them tonight, and they lost, but they haven't been making them.
Yeah, DeJounte Murray was on fire.
Yeah, that was another guy. Yeah,
points, 11 for 17, 2 for 4 on 3-pointers.
And he probably averages like 15 points a game on the season on 45%. You know,
he averages 15.7 points per game for the season, shooting 45%.
Wow. Yeah. And tonight he was just on, but that was the whole team.
Yeah.
The whole Spurs team. And whenever, like, we were talking about it during the game, the way the Spurs were shooting, we're like, you know, the way they're shooting tonight, I just don't see the Mavericks winning this game. Yeah. And sometimes that happens, and I don't know if you take a lot out of it, you know?
No, I don't think you can take a lot out of it defensively in terms of, like, the Spurs made a billion shots. Mm-hmm. The Mavs still played pretty good defense. I mean, I didn't see anything where I was like, ah, they just don't have the focus or the effort or misses, you know, on switches or whatever. I thought they played normal defense, but yeah, they just shot the crap out of the ball.
Well, DeRozan, I don't think he shoots open shots. Mm. I've never seen a DeRozan game where he just gets an open jumper.
Yeah.
Like, everything is ISO contested. So, which, you know, says a lot about how good he is as an ISO shooter. But, you know, they contested everything pretty much. There's a couple open threes, but that's going to happen. They just made him. DeJounte Murray and DeMar DeRozan were just swishing everything.
Yeah, so I like, on that end, I feel like you can't overanalyze it. But on, like, the offensive end of what you did, then I feel like that's probably where you can take most of your notes from. Again, starting from the end of the game, the Mavs had the last shot of the game. It was only half a second left. I get it. You're probably not going to get a great shot. I do wish they had gotten a better shot than a half court 3-pointer from Luka.
Yeah, it's hard to get a good shot with only 0.5 to go.
Yeah, when they know you're probably going for a three.
Something. So that, I don't know. Like, it's hard to sit here and criticize that. It's 0.5 seconds. You know, name me a team that consistently gets a good look with 0.5 seconds on the clock. So it's a sucky shot, but I don't think it's poor execution or bad coaching or anything. It's just the fact that you have 0.5 seconds and you just, you have to shoot it the moment you get it anywhere on the court, and it just happened to be far, far away.
Yeah, that's the thing. It was so far out. Mm-hmm. Like, is that the play you drew up where it ended up in a half-court shot? I feel like,
I don't know,
you would drop a play where it's closer.
I'm assuming the play was for Luka to curl around like he did, but the defender was so close on him, he had to go off of him a little bit further and then just throw it up. Like, maybe you could have, I don't know, maybe if Porzingis hadn't fouled out, then they could have done a lob or something like that. But
yeah, it's tough either way. I mean, don't expect a great shot or even a make, but just a better
shot.
A half court.
Yeah, a better shot would have been nice.
Yeah. Speaking of Kristaps Porzingis, that's probably going to be the longest part of this, is talking about him, because there's been a lot of talk about Kristaps as usual lately. Fourth quarter, you know, he felt like he should be more involved in the fourth quarter. In this game, he led the team in shots in the fourth quarter. He fouled out with like a little over a minute left or something, but still led the team in shots in that quarter. He finished the game with, what was it? Not 16 points, 31 points, 15 rebounds. He had, I think, 20 points at halftime. Mm-hmm. So that means he got his remaining 11 in the second half,
which is still good.
Yeah, it's still fine. You know, I'm like, to me, the whole time I'm thinking, like, I'm really glad that we're feeding Porzingis. This is great. but we're still losing, and I wish we could just give the ball to Luka and let him take over like he always does. You know, it's just so much easier rather than having to like feed it to him every time. And what, and it's just so much easier to just let Luka do it.
It's a lot more trust in Luka.
Maybe that's what it is. It just feels easier.
Well, because Porzingis hasn't consistently performed, especially in the fourth quarter. I know he hasn't been getting shots, but he hasn't performed well all the time. Like, he has a few good games here and there, or he'll have a 5-game stretch or an 8-game stretch or whatever, and then he'll have a 10-game stretch where he's not moving out there. He's just standing there and then sulking or whatever it is he does. And then it comes up
for another excuse why he
isn't doing well. Yeah, exactly. So I'm glad he's playing well.
Yeah.
But
I guess at this point, it's just keep doing it.
Do it every game.
Yeah. And I think so. I'm still skeptical. It's not enough for just two games. And you know, I'm sorry. Like, I'm sure there's other people or other fans that are like, they're totally on board with it. And they're like, this is what he can do. But for me, I'm still a little skeptical. I'd have to see it for more than two games before I trust him the way that I trust Luka, which is fair. I mean, we've seen Luka for three seasons now do this every game. So of course we trust him more than Kristaps, it's only been a few games now. But trust factor isn't quite there yet.
Yeah. And I just get sick and tired of talking about him. And even the broadcast, they talk about him all the time you know, how special he is. Anytime he does a move, you know, they got to beat a dead horse. Like, man, he's the greatest player I've ever seen. You know, it's like over and over and over and over. And he has found a way to just make everything about him.
Yeah.
And win or lose, good game or bad game, it's somehow going to revolve around Porzingis in the conversation. And it's nothing we're doing wrong. It's just that's what he's created.
Yeah.
That's what the situation has created, because, yeah, he hasn't been getting shots in the fourth. Understandable. You don't say things publicly. He's done this before. He did it with this whole minutes thing. Instead of talking to Carlisle privately, he said it public to force Carlisle's hand, and it's just unnecessary.
Well, it's always something. First, it was like he needs longer stretches on the court. Yeah, he needs his minutes rotations changed. And then they did that. And then we were like, okay, if you're going to say that, you better show up. And he did. He played well for a pretty long stretch, and then he kind of started
struggling again. Normal. Yeah.
And then it was, he's not getting enough post shots. He's not getting the shots that he needs. So they started feeding the post, and he did okay for a few games and then kind of tapered off a little bit. And now it's, I need the ball in the fourth quarter. So they're giving him the ball and he's doing okay in the fourth quarter, but
it'll fizzle away.
Yeah. I think I said this like almost every episode. I'm so tired of talking about him, but it's always something.
Well, it's also the sideline outburst that he's had, you know, that Brooklyn game, I think of.
Or the alley-oop, what do you, you know, Luka missed him or something.
In the Brooklyn game, you remember, like, they were going to him every single possession.
Yeah.
And I don't even remember why he was kicking a chair or throwing a hissy fit in that game. Because, like, dude, you're getting the ball every time. Yeah. What do you expect?
They just missed you on a fast break.
Yeah, they missed you. And then the alley-oop one where Dorian got it and not Porzingis. And it's like, look, you should want Dorian to get an easy bucket. You know, that's what you do for your teammate.
Yeah.
Instead, he was like, I should have got an alley-oop, and he went and kicked a chair again. I don't know why he keeps kicking chairs, but he, you know, he's doing that again. And it's like, dude, you're up by 18 points, and you've been playing well, but because you didn't get that alley-oop pass, and it to you, it's a sign of all the other things that are going wrong for you, that you got a pout. And it's like, That's just not how you do things.
And I feel like he always gives us something to talk about, because he's always bringing up something. I'm not getting enough minutes. I'm not getting the right shots. I'm not getting enough shots in the fourth quarter. And so now we're overanalyzing everything. It's like, okay, are we doing what Kristaps needs? How is he performing with it? Like, we're always changing. Okay, let's change the rotations. Okay, let's change the offense a little bit. Like, okay, let's change our fourth quarter. Like, we're always changing all these things just to try to squeeze points out of him, you know?
And it's It's just unnecessary, you know. I don't know. I feel like he thinks that the only way he can be a true impact player is when he's scoring. And that's just not true. There's a lot of great players and winning players that do a lot of other things than just score. Draymond is one of those guys. And I know they haven't been winning lately, whatever. He's not the kind of guy that you put on a bad team and they become a winning team.
Yeah.
That's not Draymond. But Draymond is that piece on a winning team.
Yeah.
That he can do everything else. He's a great defender, great rebounder, great passer. So Porzingis, when he's not getting his shots, he's typically not doing anything. And that's offensively or defensively. Anytime he's having a bad game offensively, what's the common theme? He's just standing there.
Yeah.
When he's having a good game like tonight, what's the common theme? He's cutting. He's crashing the offensive glass, which he had several of them tonight. But he just doesn't do it consistently. And then to expect the team to force feed you in the fourth quarter,
or to cater to all of your little requests,
when you're not there 40% of the time. So like 40% of the games, you're not out there in the fourth quarter. Luka does have to do it himself.
Yeah.
And he does it very well.
And then when you are out there.
And then when you're out there.
Now we got to cater to you. It's like, well, you haven't been here.
Yes, exactly. So it's like, how do you think you have a voice in that? And then to me, that's in his mind, he's one person. He's this guy that as a superstar, a franchise player, all of this and that, and blah, blah, blah. And he's just not. And then maybe he might be if he played consistently, but he just doesn't. So he doesn't play but 60% of the games, and then half of those, he's a non-factor.
Yeah. So I published an article today on DallasHoopsCast.com of kind of talking about this Kristaps consistency. And we've talked before in the pod that to us, it seemed like he only played well against bad teams or mediocre teams.
And, like tonight.
Yeah, and there were some people that were like, that's not true. That's just what you guys are saying. That's just the narrative. And so I wanted to look at it. Like, okay, is this actually true? And I looked at his numbers from playing against sub 500 teams and playing against teams that had a 500 or better record. And the difference to me was stark. I mean, his scoring average against those teams goes down by over 5 points. His shooting percentage overall plus his three-point percentage, they both drop significantly. Like, the numbers don't lie. It is true against sucky teams or losing sub-500 teams. He's a star. He's doing what he did tonight against the Spurs, who are a sub-500 team. You know, he averages like 23 points a game and 10 rebounds and shoots 50%, all the things he did tonight. But against the good teams, he's like 17 points a game and 7 rebounds, which isn't bad, but it's not enough to warrant these sorts of conversations where we need to feed him in the fourth and we need to get him shots. It's like, you can, okay, against the Spurs, yeah, sure, you can do that. And you think like, yeah, see, this is why I need the ball. But where were you against the Clippers and the Nuggets and the Jazz and the Blazers and the Knicks? This year against those teams, you've scored 15 or fewer points when his team really needs him the most. Not when he wants to be needed, but when they actually need him the most, he hasn't delivered. So, yeah, there's not as much trust there, you know? And it just, it is what it is. He can perform better. Like we said, he's done it the past couple games, and that's great. But he's got to do it again. He's got to be consistent like Luka is and like these other stars are in order to earn that trust from his teammates and fans if he cares about that.
Well, and I just don't think he'll be that because he doesn't play enough.
He doesn't play enough.
And so you can never really be in a true rhythm. You can't carry a team. You cannot carry a team when you're not out there.
Yeah.
So The biggest concern, or a big concern that I have, is what happens when we're playing against the Lakers or the Clippers or the Blazers or the Nuggets or whatever these top teams are. Let's say it's a game 7 in the playoffs. and it's fourth quarter and it's a close game, who do you want to have the ball?
Luka.
Exactly.
But is and he going to be upset?
Yes. And that's the thing. Like, you know, so Luka will, you'll probably get a couple shots, but you better make them.
Yeah.
Because the moment you start missing them, he knows, okay, he can't rely on you. And he hasn't been able to.
Yeah.
That's just the facts of it. You know, he hasn't been able to rely on Porzingis to be that second star for a lot of different factors, but it's just true.
Yeah.
And that's the concern I have is like, okay, so are you expecting to get all the shots in the fourth quarter in a game seven when Luka is by far the best player on the team? And then if you don't, you know, are you going to have a problem with it? Are you going to have, what are your post game comments? Let's say you lose that game and you went 0 for 1 in the fourth quarter, 0 for 2.
Are you going to say, I need more shots?
Like, what are your post game comments going to be then?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, why can't you just stop making it about you? Why can't we just move on with our lives and talk about the Mavericks and the loss to the Spurs tonight?
Win or loss or whatever. Yeah. I am, you know, so that's my thing is like, he's got to do it more consistently. And these past two games have been great. And tonight, it would be unfair of me to say, you know, look, you got all these shots in the fourth quarter and they still lost. Even though, I mean, that's a thing. It happened.
I don't think it had anything to do with him.
But I get it. Yeah, one game isn't enough to say, like, oh, he's wrong. Even though I think that he's not the kind of player that, you know, should warrant demanding the ball in the fourth quarter. But, you know, it's unfair to say that after one game.
Well, I don't think anything Porzingis-related had any impact on the Mavericks losing the game.
I don't know.
I think it was all the Spurs shooting.
Yeah, I wish Luka...
I thought Luka took over there at the last 3 minutes, but they went down. They were down by 8, and then Luka had to kind of save them.
I mean, when he's constantly having to look for Kristaps and feed him, then he doesn't do his normal things.
Play instinctively. And that's again, that's my problem with his attitude about it. And again, that makes me think about a game 7 fourth quarter or a game 6 in a 3-2 series where you're down, you know, and. Now is Luka going to be second guessing his decision making because
he wants to make you happy, win or lose? We got to make sure Kristaps gets shots.
And it's like
it's always about shots. It's always about the ball.
Yeah, and when Luka delivers, everybody's fine. He can't do it every single game. It's just not practical. It's just not going to happen. And then the one game he doesn't, he uses that as an opportunity.
To make his point.
Yeah, and to make his point. Okay. It's like, okay, so what about the 9 other games that he did deliver?
Yeah, we're now in April.
Yeah.
You lost a game. Now is your chance to jump on it and say, I need shots.
And it was a weird game. Like, the whole team didn't play well. And it's like, you didn't play well as a team. And yes, Luka missed a lot of shots in the fourth quarter that he normally makes. Like, why make that about you and your shots? Just say, hey, you know, we played poorly tonight. We know we're a better team than this. And we just didn't deliver tonight. And that's it. Just move on. Like, why make it about you not getting shots? And that's the reason why you lost.
Yeah, that's the reason why we lost.
Because Luka shot and missed.
Yeah, that Kristaps didn't get shots in the fourth quarter. Even though he hasn't proven to be that kind of player that can lead his team to wins. You know, again, he's done it a couple times now, but he's got to prove that in order to warrant statements and demands like that. I mean, okay, so just moving on to a little positive. I mean, there were flashes tonight of the Kristaps Luka duo
that we all thought we were going
to get. We were going to see. I thought they did a lot more in the pick and roll tonight than I think I've seen them do in a long time.
Yeah.
And so Kristaps, there were, you know, he got open threes or mid-range pull-ups, layups. They were pretty good in the pick and roll tonight. And it was a great sign of what that duo can be. You know, and then we'll see. It's like anything with the Kristaps never lasts forever.
Well, yeah.
So we'll see if this lasts more than two games.
Well, the thing is, when you run into a team that switches...
Yeah,
then
true.
Then Porzingis doesn't have that little open pull-up jumper that he got all night tonight because San Antonio doesn't switch. they kind of hedge, and then that left Porzingis open a little bit, and Luka found him pretty much every single time. A couple times that he missed, and I was looking to see what Porzingis' reaction was going to be, but when a team switches, then Luka's not going to do that. He's going to take his man, and you know, I guess unless he has Muggsy Bugs on him, then we'll post him up because that's a mismatch. But anytime it's a switch, it's a mismatch for Luka way more than it's a mismatch for Porzingis. He
can't. Do you mean just because of sheer skill?
Yes. Yeah. Well, and Porzingis, even when he has a small guy on him, doesn't really do well on the post ups.
Yeah.
And you know, his little turnaround elbow a guy in the face jump shot and then miss it. It's like that doesn't go in consistently enough. And so are you asking Luka to give you the ball when you have a small on him when Luka has a big on him? And it's like you have to recognize Luka has the better mismatch.
Luka is a better player.
Yes, and he has when Luka has a big on him, that is a better mismatch than you having a small on you. And if you're okay with that, just recognize that. Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, that happened a few times tonight where because the Spurs switched, they both had mismatches and Luka attacked his mismatch. He didn't give it to Kristaps.
Well, that's what he should do.
Yeah, and I was doing the same thing you did. I was watching Kristaps to see his reaction. He seemed, I mean, I didn't see anything. Obviously, we are master body language readers. That's like our second language. So this is what we do during games.
But with all due respect,
he does make it very apparent.
Well, and I've been talking about the body language for a long time. It turns out I was right.
Oh.
Because remember all the stuff has come out now about Luka and Porzingis. They don't really like each other. I've been saying that for a long time.
Yeah.
I've been saying that long before.
Hey, there was an article about how they're best friends, okay?
Oh, yeah. From the
anyways,
the reality distortion field that the Mavericks media has created.
But yeah, I mean, so they did pretty well tonight. There were some good signs. There were some awesome plays. I mean, Kristaps had some really awesome plays tonight, and it was like, that's what we thought we were going to get, and we're like
but he
3 years into this, and we got a couple plays of it. It's like, there it is.
He's done flashes like this.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole 2 years that he's played.
Yeah.
All 20 games. And in these flashes, like, okay, this is the guy, but then tomorrow when we play Philadelphia, let's say hypothetically him and Luka both play.
Yeah.
Let's say he goes out there and he shoots 6 of 17 against a good team. Mm-hmm. Tonight he played the Spurs. Losing record. They're a better team than the Spurs. They just happen to lose tonight.
Yeah.
Tomorrow they play the number 2 team in the East, in Philadelphia. And if he plays, you got to do it again.
Yeah.
You got to perform. You got to deliver. Because the moment you fade, like, I think Luka is officially done. Yeah. Because, like, now Luka's got to do it himself.
Yeah, and I don't think Luka minds, but it's the fact that he's always got to be thinking about you whenever you don't deliver. Yeah. And it's like, ugh.
So if you get these wide open shots like you got tonight and you get them again tomorrow, you better make them. Because tomorrow's game is a lot more important than tonight's game, because they need you a lot more than tonight.
Yeah, because, you know, probably their role players, they're playing a better team. They're going to play defense.
It's going to be a grind.
Yeah, this is when your stars have to step up, really. And so,
and if he comes out and it just, you know, 6 of 17 for 18 points and 9 rebounds, it's like, well, you know, shut up. Like, shut up and show up. Shut up and show up.
Like, this is when your team needs you the most against those really good teams. Because on the lower teams, their team defense isn't going to be as great. You know, you can rely on guys like Tim Hardaway Jr. and Jalen Brunson and Dorian or Maxey when he's back. But it's against the really good teams that your stars need to carry you. And that's when your team really needs you. And again, it's like when you look at the numbers against above 500 teams, he becomes just a role player, 17 and 7,
but
like
not 43% even that, shooting. Poor shooting numbers.
Yeah, it's like 43% shooting. The numbers are in the article, so you can read it. Plus, there's other details on why this is important. And so, it's like that's when he really needs to show up. And I mean, if he does it, great. Like, if he could be that player, then the Mavs are set for the future. But he's got to do it again and again and again, every night, every season. You know, these guys like Luka, well, not even talking about the superstars, okay? So maybe Kristaps isn't that. But talk about like the second star, the duo guy, the Kyrie Irving, Klay Thompson, Dwayne Wade with LeBron James, Anthony Davis. Those guys, they do it every game.
There's no comparison.
Yeah, they do it every game, every night. You know, they might defer to the star because they're better, but they still show up every game. That's what you have to do to have us stop talking like this and to earn the trust of your teammates. And that's so really, far, it just hasn't happened.
Yeah, and that's really all there is to it.
And if you don't do it, then like you said,
shut up.
Yes. Stop bringing this up. Just
if you
stop talking, just show up and do it.
If he is a no-show tomorrow, if he plays, I doubt he plays.
Which is still a factor.
Yes.
Like, can
again,
we talk about, like, okay, you did it tonight, but then tomorrow your team really needs you and you can't even play.
Yeah. I'm assuming they're going to play because
they
the
lost
Mavericks.
Tonight.
Yeah. And they look like they are trying to get that sixth seed.
Yeah.
Tonight's loss really hurts, but they still have time. Now, the Mavericks, even to this point in time, they played the toughest schedule in the NBA up to this game. So, after, I believe it's after Philadelphia's game, I think they have one more tough game. But then the rest of it is pretty easy teams that they're playing. Now, the Mavericks haven't played well against the easy teams lately. They're going to have to correct that.
They've got, so the Sixers tomorrow, and then Grizzlies, Knicks, Kings, Pistons, and then they play the Lakers back-to-back, and then the Kings, Warriors. So it does ease up. But yeah, against the Sixers, against the Knicks, I mean, even against the... And this okay,
the Grizzlies game is also going to be tough because
the
Grizzlies are
good. But here's
the
thing. Let me interrupt you and make a point.
Yes, thank you.
So in talking about does Kristaps show up in big games, you could go by the record, but you could also go by the eye test of what a big matchup is. And the Knicks, that's a big matchup. And like this year, I think it was this year, he scored like 15 or less points against them. So
he played terrible in that game up in New York.
It's those big matchups where his team needs him and he doesn't show up. But yeah, so against the Sixers, they'll need him. Against the Lakers, they'll need him. And that's when he's got
to
do it.
Let's hope that by the time they get to the Lakers... LeBron and AD are still out. And I think they're projected to be out still.
I thought LeBron was projected to be back on that
date. On those games, okay.
But that was like the initial projection.
Yeah,
so we'll see.
So yeah, we'll see. But, you know, those games would probably play a big role in seeding for the Mavericks. I think they still have a chance to catch Portland because I just don't think Portland is really that good. Mm-hmm. As a team, and I know they have a winning record and everything like that, but I think it's pretty well documented that they have such a poor net rating for
a
winning team.
They have a net. They're the only team in the top eight that has a negative point differential,
and it's mainly because, and we've talked about this before, Damian Lillard's heroics in the clutch, and like I said, there's only so many shots you can make when the game's on the line. At some point, the percentages are going to even out. He is not the greatest player ever, so he's not going to continue to shoot 60% or something in the clutch.
Yeah.
It's just impossible. So the percentages are going to even out, and I'm hoping that that will help the Mavericks.
Yeah.
But we'll see. You know, tomorrow's game is just became a whole lot more important because you lost tonight to a sub-500 team, which is now all your wins, the last couple of wins you've gotten are against good teams and your losses are against not so good teams.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't have a lot of trust in Kristaps. If he does it for, you know, not just a week or whatever, like I said, these guys that where you have that confidence in them, they've been doing
it
for seasons. Mm-hmm. Yeah, every game. So, I mean, it would take a while for me to trust Kristaps the way I do Luka. But, I mean, if he does it, he does it. But he's got to do it. Like, to me, I've given Kristaps the benefit of, if you guys listen to this podcast for
it took you a long time to come around.
Yeah, like I've always given Kristaps the benefit of the doubt. We did a whole long episode a couple months ago just addressing the whole KP thing and should they trade him or whatever. And I was always on the like benefit of the doubt. He'll, you know, the injuries have slowed him down. He'll come around and all that. But I'm to the point now where I'm like, well, man, you got to do it. Like, I want to believe in you. I always defended you that the Mavs shouldn't trade you, that they should keep you and give you a chance. But at some point, like, you got to do it. You got to stop saying, I need this, I need this, I need this. You got to just show up and do it.
Yeah, I think right now we're beating a dead horse.
Yeah, we are. Thanks, guys, for listening.
Oh, okay.
Is this like the other night whenever I went on my hour-long rant?
Yeah, and it sounded I think we're repeating ourselves at this point about Porzingis. Okay, I think we've made it clear.
Well, he did have a really great game, and he had some awesome plays that were fun to see. And he and Luka had good chemistry.
I can't even cheer when he does something good because it's like
I'm thinking about the other stuff. And yeah. So anyway, I'm tired of talking about it.
Yeah.
But you know, it was a sucky loss. We'll see if they pick it up tomorrow.
I hope so.
Yeah. Go read that article, though, on DallasHoopsCast.com because to me, it was really informative. It was beyond just like, this is my opinion. And it was like, oh, snaps. This is what's happening. So thank you to everyone that shared it so far. And go check it out. Anything else you'd like to add, Martin?
Nope.
Okay. Thanks, guys, for listening. Thank you for all of your support. I, this week, have gotten a few messages from people on social media just sharing their support for the podcast, for the show. And I really appreciated that. I just wanted to say it out loud. You guys have been so supportive and so great, like such great listeners. And so thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it.
I'm here too. If you want to say something nice about me.
You know, all they do is ask about you. Like this, I'll have people just randomly on Twitter at me. Hey, how's Martin?
It's because
hey, fine. Okay.
It's because I'm not on Twitter.
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe you do that on purpose to create a mystique.
No, I hate Twitter.
Yeah, I get you. Okay. Thank you everyone for listening. And we will see you guys in the next episode tomorrow, hopefully after a win. Tomorrow and this little shop of horrors. Oh, promise tomorrow and this little shop of horrors.